Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, whether favorably or not, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. In Romans chapter 5, we read the statement found in beginning in verse 15. If you have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, turn with me as we begin our reading with verse 15. But not as the offense, as also is the free gift. But if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, and so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We find that there is much misunderstanding concerning God's free gift, and that's what we want to devote our study to this morning, especially the gift of salvation through His Son. We want to better our understanding of these things by examining, first of all, some false concepts, and then we want to know the truth as to what we will know so that we'll know how to enjoy God's gift or know how to obtain those gifts for ourselves. However, we must also realize a gift may not be used or taken advantage. So, we want to receive all of God's gifts with thankfulness and know how to enjoy them to the fullest, while not promoting any false concepts about them. What is it that the free gift, what does that not mean? Well, first of all, what the free gift does not mean is that it is not without conditions. Some teach that the free gift means that it's without any cost, any condition. And so they teach that since Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, as 1 John 2 verses 1 to 3 teaches, then they say that the whole world will be saved freely, without cost or condition. But you know, if this is true, how can some neglect so great salvation that's mentioned in Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 4? And we find that they will not escape the wrath of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, we notice in verse 26 this reading: For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who's trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, Vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. See, Jesus even said that many people are condemned. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already. So Jesus said too that many people will experience hell fire. In Matthew 5 verses 22, verse 29, as well as in verse 30. And Jesus said that many people will experience the everlasting fire. In Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9, and also again in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46. The inspired Apostle Paul said that the Lord will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that do not know God and that obey not the gospel, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. So, while propitiation has been made for the sins of the whole world will not receive or enjoy the benefits of the free gift. You know, most talk out of both sides of their mouth, saying that the free gift means without cost or condition out of one side of their mouth, and then they'll start attaching the condition of faith out of the other side of their mouth. Well, the truth is that free gift does not mean that you get it without cost or condition. Another thing that the free gift does not mean is that it is not without obligations and demands. Again, there are some that teach that all will be saved without meeting any obligation or demand to live a moral and holy life. But they are mistaken and they are self-deceived. But we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 8, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes to mention a number of those things that are unrighteous: fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, sodomy, thefts, murders, all of these things. And it ends it in verse 10 by saying, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the free gift of God teaches us, however, that we are to deny all ungodliness. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And two, we must love God, we must obey God. Jesus said that very plainly in Matthew 7 and verse 2, when he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So this free gift does not mean that it's without responsibility. You know, with gifts, there comes whether or not I'm going to receive it or not. There comes obligations, there comes responsibilities. And there's a lot of this double talk in some circles that implies that people can act irresponsibly toward God's gift and yet still enjoy the benefits of the gift. But friends, the truth is that free gift does not mean that there's no responsibility that's attached to the free gift. For example, in Jericho, we find in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So we see that Jericho was given by God to Israel. And if something is given, therefore it is a gift. But recall that in order to get the gift, Israel had to march around the city for 7 days, 7 times on the seventh day. The priest would blow their trumpets and the people would shout. So see, the responsibilities attached did not still make it any less of a free gift. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 13, look at some of the other things that we see. He said also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. So eating and drinking is a gift of God, but is it without responsibility? Is it without obligations? No, we have to work in order to eat and to drink. But still, it's a gift of God. Further on in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him the power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labors, this is the gift of God. But again, we see it's not without responsibility, it's not without obligations, although all that we have in this life is a gift from God. Some gifts, in fact, we even read are commanded, like the one in Matthew 8 and verse 4, when the statement is made, see, you tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So here were those to whom that the Lord had healed, and he said, go and do what the gift that Moses commanded. So some gifts are commanded gifts. But the free gift does not mean without cost. Free in the sense of without cost. It does not mean that it's free to mankind, but it's free without coercion. It's free from God's own kindness. But yet there is obligation. There is responsibility involved. So what does the free gift mean? It means that God was not under obligation to give it to us. He didn't owe man. In fact, we find in Titus chapter 3, verses 4, beginning, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And then in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 2, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he as were of the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So we see then that God did not owe man his salvation, but truly it is a gift. And it's not a gift from what we read here in Titus 3 or in Romans 4 that we obtained through the law of Moses. And we've brought lessons before on this subject that we are not today, you and I, accounted righteous through the keeping of the things that were commanded under the law of Moses. But man's goodness did not place God under obligation for him to give his son. And man's sinfulness, what does it deserve? Well, it deserves justice. And God exercised his own goodness and his own choice, and we are richer in receiving the gift of God. And for all the poor, if we don't, it provokes us to thanksgiving for this indescribable gift. It's a heavenly gift that's described in Hebrews 6 and verse 4. And we are to be stewards of this gift, as we learn in the fact that God gave his only begotten Son, and he will not take it back. We can set it aside, but that will not make your responsibility toward it any less significant. The fact is that all of life is offered to you as a stewardship. We must utilize it in a way that will honor God, and when we get through with life, he will say, "Well done." God's greatest gift to us is his own Son, Jesus Christ. Here, you can have forgiveness, redemption, be a child of God, receive an inheritance. So the question is, what have you done so far? See, God has also given much evidence of himself in creation, in the history of the Israelites, in the prophets, and in the prophecies, in his Son, Jesus, in the revelation of the Old and the New Testament, in the shadows that we read in the Old Testament, and in the image of Christ that we have in the New Testament. What have you done with all of this testimony? You're a steward of these gifts, whether you want to be or not. So your very life is a gift of God. You can waste it, or you can make it count. The gift of his Son is free. It will cost you, but you will find that his burden is light when you learn from him. Would we be a lazy and a slothful servant, or will we be a good servant of God's greatest gift? Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.